This is SEC Talk.
What is going on, everybody? Bill, welcome back. Welcome back. It is SEC Talk, like you heard there off the top, with your host Holden and Cody. Just Holden tonight yet again as we're getting ready to prepare for the Week 12 slate. Week 11 in the book. Hard to believe we are at the end of the season already. Only a couple weeks left before we get to championship drives where you start to play for those conference championships. Only 2 weeks left in the regular season before we get to that point again. Just hard to believe that we've already made it to the end of the season here. We've got some stuff to run over. We're going to run back through Week 11 slate, look back at our picks that we made through that, check out Week 12 games that we have coming up. Got a couple of good ones in the SEC, some other good ones around the rest of the country. And this will be the start of the week that's going to shake up the top 10 as far as college football playoff goes. So we're going to get to that. Starting things off, we will go through the college football playoff ranking that did come out. I guess it's week three of that came out earlier this week. Not really much happening at the top. A little bit happening lower below that. Got a few SEC teams still hanging out in there, and one that's showing back up in the top 25 that we're going to go through in a minute. But first and foremost, let's start it off like this, like we normally always do. SEC Talk 20 on Twitter, at SEC Talk 20. Make sure you guys follow us there on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button as well. Also, hit the bell so you get a notification when we do put a YouTube channel or YouTube show up, I should say. Hadn't been on there in a little while, but we will be getting back to that, hopefully, by the end of the season. I know that's kind of hard to say because it's really only 2 weeks left. So, but it is what it is. Rate and review. Make sure you guys rate and review us there on Apple Podcast. If you are listening, leave us a review. Could be read on an upcoming show. And then in the description of the podcast, if you guys feel like supporting the show, just click the link there to take you and give you three options to be able to donate to the show. You can cancel at any time, but if you guys feel like supporting the show, we would greatly appreciate it. Just continues for us to be able to do this show. That's all there is to it. So getting that out of the way, getting the college football playoff ranking pulled up here, as it's taking forever to pull back up on my sheet. Again, the top seven does not change. Still have Georgia at the top, Alabama in second, in third, Oregon in fourth, Ohio State, fifth, Cincinnati, sixth is Michigan, and seventh is Michigan State. So things are still looking pretty much the same there. Actually, I may have had, yeah, I got that right. But again, we have some big games coming up this weekend, which we're going to talk about later on in the show, mainly the biggest one being that Ohio State being in the fourth, taking on number seven, Michigan State. In the past few times that they've played, it's come down to the wire. It's been a really good game. So looking forward to the possibility of that happening again this upcoming year or this upcoming week. Let me look back through some of the games this past weekend before we jump into the Week 12 slate while I'm waiting on my rankings to come up. Everything I'm going to talk about here over the next few minutes is basically going to be right off the top of my head because, again, nothing is pulling up at the moment, which wouldn't you know it, nothing necessarily new about that. But our picks, going back through, looking at them, Alabama took on, if I remember correctly, New Mexico State. The start of this game is really slow. First quarter, very, very slow game. Was surprised to see this be as slow as it was. But from that point on, it was no longer slow. Alabama walks away with it like 59-3 in the end. Big win by Alabama. It was expected, and they did what they had to do. Then you got Auburn taking on Mississippi State. This was a big one. This was a big one. At halftime, or just before the half, Auburn was trailing or winning this game 28-3. And if you know anything about that score right there, and if you are an Atlanta Falcons fan, it brings back bad memories because it happened to Auburn. Auburn let loose in the first quarter, in the first half, really, and never showed back up after that. Went into the locker room and just never came back out for the second half as Mississippi State rolls back, comes roaring back, and wins that one big last week. Huge win for Mississippi State. That's the reason they find themselves back in the top 25. I believe they're ranked 25th in that college football playoff ranking. Big game there. We'll get down again to our picks from week 11 here in just a minute. But that was a wild one. That was a wild one for sure. Looking back at Florida and Samford, we kind of joked about this a little bit that, oh, this could be a game where Florida, you know, they've got to upset Samford in this one. And my goodness, if that almost didn't come true. If that almost didn't come true. Samford, if I remember correctly, had the lead at the half. And it wasn't just like a, a little 3-point lead or anything like that. I think it was a pretty significant lead. Again, I'm still waiting on all of my information to pull up in front of me, so be patient with me as this stuff pulls up. But if I remember looking back correctly, it was like 56-20 something, right there around the half, and Florida was losing this game until finally Florida decided to show up there later in the game. It took 70 points, though. 70 points to beat Samford. I'm not talking about Stanford, and even then, Samford Bulldogs is who they play. In the Swamp, Dan Mullen before this was excited to have fans come to this one. I think by the end of this one, you are not very excited to be a Florida Gator fan. Not for the remainder of the 2021 season, the way that things have gone. And had they lost to Samford in a game I never anticipated being this close, that may have been it for Dan Mullen. And it still may come down to that. The next two games that Florida has to play is at Missouri and Florida State. At Missouri right now does not look like that's a promising win. Doesn't look like it's necessarily just guaranteed, especially after the way they played Samford. Florida State, they're not looking terrible this year. Now, they're not good and they're not great yet, but they don't look that bad this year. They are slowly turning things around, which I'm glad to see. Anytime Florida State is good, it's better for the league as far as ACC goes, but it's also just better for the country to have Florida State up there and being a good contender, especially as much as Clemson has been able to take away with that league over there. So having an FSU team who is ranked and playing good, which is not the case right now, but they are playing good. It's fun. It's fun to have that. So Florida could have two more losses on its schedule by the end of the season. We're talking about a team that could be pushing for the possibility of playing in a bowl game for the first time in quite a while. My mind is still just kind of blown. Let me see if I can finally get all this information pulled up. I'm going to swap up and see if I use a different app here, if it makes a difference. Yeah, in the end of that one, 72-52. I don't have the halftime look or anything of that one, but took 70 points to beat them. 70 points to beat Samford. Kind of strange to see that there. Then moving down to Georgia and Tennessee. What a great game this was. What a great game. This game started off hot and heavy. 10-3. Tennessee has the lead over Georgia in the first quarter. And Georgia's defense, which didn't necessarily, I'm not going to say it didn't show up for the first drive, because even before this game, I knew this was going to be a game where Tennessee is going to score just because of how potent and how high-powered that offense has been so far this season. But Georgia's defense showed up and did their job following that first drive. Tennessee drove right down the field to start things off. No big deal. No big deal for Georgia. Georgia does the same thing. Turns right back around and answers the call. Ties it up 7-7. Then a field goal from Tennessee, making it 10-7 before we go to the second quarter. And from that point on, Georgia rolls. Absolutely rolls. Rolls this one 41-17. Not allowing the Tennessee to score again until the fourth quarter. Ended up actually having to take Hendon Hooker out of this game to be able to win it in the end. Not that would have mattered, but I say to win it. My brain is completely shutting off right now as nothing else is working. Not to win it, but to be able to get into this game. But looking back at the Florida thing, the take I was going to say, Florida's 5-5. They're searching for bowl eligibility. If they lose the next two games, Florida's not going to a bowl game in 2021. And how crazy would that be? And the crazy thing is, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But back to that Georgia-Tennessee game. Again, Georgia's defense dominant. Comes back into this one, shuts Tennessee down for the rest of the game. Until, kind of surprisingly, Joe Milton comes in the fourth quarter and leads a drive down the field and Tennessee scores. At that point, it didn't matter. But still, 41-17, Georgia rolling in this one. And then we jump down to South Carolina and Missouri, a game I think a lot of us had South Carolina picked after the way they played Florida last week, hoping they could ride that high horse. And it was a back-and-forth battle until Missouri there at the end pulls it off 31-28. Good game there as far as middle to bottom of the pack of the SEC East goes, but Missouri does pull this one off in the end. And then looking down at the Texas A&M Ole Miss game, this was another good game, another top 25 matchup here. And Texas A&M showed up big time against Auburn last week and just did not, offensively did not show up in this game against Ole Miss. Defensively still looked pretty good to hold Ole Miss to 29 points, but takes A&M only able to muster 19 points in this one. They lose by 10, 29-19. Matt Corral looked pretty good in this one. They were able to run the ball pretty effectively there at Ole Miss as well. Improving to 8-2, making Texas A&M fall down to 7-3 and see their hopes of getting into the SEC Championship completely diminished. Completely diminished unless for some reason Alabama was to lose to Arkansas this week and then Auburn next week. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but don't see that happening. Then we move on down to Kentucky taking on Vanderbilt. Kentucky rolling with this one, 34-17. Vanderbilt still covering some of these spreads. And then you get to the Arkansas-LSU game. Arkansas, for the first time in five years beating LSU. 16-13, did take a field goal in overtime, but it did happen. And beating LSU at night in Death Valley. That is a hard thing to do. So congratulations out to Arkansas to be able to pull that one out. They are a 7-3 team. 7-3 team. I had high aspirations for them at the beginning of the season. Look at this. They take down Texas A&M earlier in the season, who took down Alabama, who is a 7-3 team, and now Arkansas, same ranking, 7-3, as we move forward through it there. That is looking back at the games from this past week. Mine and Cody's picks on this one, both of us had Alabama, both of them hit that, both of us had Auburn, both of us fall to that, both of us had Florida and got that one. Both of us had Georgia. I also had Georgia plus 56, so ding ding to that. Both of us also took South Carolina. Actually, let me look to make sure Cody took South Carolina in this. Yeah, both of us took South Carolina. Unfortunately, that one didn't hit. I took Texas A&M and minus that 2.5. That did not happen, so two losses for me. But Cody, he took Ole Miss in this one and gets that win. I took Kentucky. We both took Kentucky, excuse me. Both got that and both took Arkansas. So we both end up with that as well. So that is the picks from this past weekend. We also look back at our top four, which we discussed last week a little bit, or I did at least, with you guys, talking about who we anticipate to be in the top four and looking back at who we decided with. I went with Georgia, Michigan State, Alabama, and Cincinnati. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. Cody goes with Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, and Oklahoma. And now I no longer think that that's going to be the case because I don't think that, and I'm not really sure why I put this, and I may have actually written this down wrong. Excuse me. That was from a couple of weeks ago. That's who we thought would be in the ranking when it first came out. But that is no longer the case. Actually, looking back last week, I took Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, and Cincinnati to be in the Final Four. And I have now windled it down to I think it's going to be Georgia and Ohio State in the national championship game, and Georgia to win the national championship for the first time since 1980. Cody took Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon, and either Ohio State or Michigan State. That's going to come down to that game this weekend, but I do not have who he thinks is going to match up in the national championship game. I'll have to get that information from him coming forward. Let me see if I can finally get these rankings pulled up from this past week before we jump into the Week 12 slate, because again, we've got a few good ones, some that are so-so, I guess you could say. I know, like we said, the front seven has not changed. From that point on, I think it basically moves to, I think Notre Dame jumps up to eighth. Again, this is kind of going off the top of my head. I hope I still have this right. I believe Notre Dame jumped up to eighth. Oklahoma State, I believe, are right behind them at ninth. And then at 10th, that's kind of where I start to dwindle down and don't have the greatest memory of exactly who's where and where's who and this, that, and the other. So let me see if I can get it to pull up on my other screen. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. All right, looking back at it, 7. Yeah, I was right. Notre Dame, 8. Oklahoma State, 9. And then at 10, you do have Wake Forest actually comes back into that 10 spot. So let me see. In the 11, you got Baylor after their win over Oklahoma this past week. Ole Miss, excuse me, at 12, Oklahoma at 13, BYU at 14, Wisconsin 15, Texas A&M at 16, Iowa at 17, Pitt at 18, San Diego State at 19, NC State 20, Arkansas moving up to 21st, UTSA at 22, Utah at 23, Houston at 24, and like I said, Mississippi State come back into that top 25 at the 25 spot. Now let's get into the Week 12 slate. Starts like this at 12 o'clock. You have Charleston Southern taking on the number one team in the country in Georgia. I do have a little bit of bone to pick about this, and this is solely because I'm a Georgia fan, and you guys know that if you've listened to this long enough. A little aggravating for these few teams. You got three top 25 ranked teams right here in Charleston Southern, in Georgia, and Texas A&M and Mississippi State, all three of which are ranked in the top 25, all playing at 12 o'clock, all on ESPN Plus / SEC Network Plus, which is something you have to have a subscription for if you do not already. You don't get to watch these games on normal TV. I understand it. The only games are on TV this week in the SEC at 12 o'clock also. You get New Mexico State and Kentucky at SEC Network. Kentucky not ranked. You do get Arkansas, Alabama. That one should be played on TV. Two ranked teams. Florida, Missouri. Okay. Auburn, South Carolina. Okay. Vandy and Ole Miss. Okay. South Alabama, Tennessee. Meh. UL Monroe, LSU. Meh. All of those games are going to be on TV. But what irks me in this, you got the number one team in the country. I don't care if it's Charleston Southern. That is not a very good team as far as – they're a good team in their own right, but they're not a good team as far as going up against the competition they're about to against Georgia. The bone that I have to pick is this. Last week, you get a New Mexico State who plays Alabama. By the way, a 1-9 New Mexico State that is terrible and is not good. Playing an Alabama team, and it's put on TV at 12 o'clock. I get it. There's only so many TV slots, but this is just, my bone to pick. You don't have to listen to it. I get it. Skip forward 30 seconds. You'll get to skip right past my rant. But the number one team in the country is playing on a channel that you don't get to watch. Don't get to watch unless you have that subscription. You may be listening going, okay, come on, guy. Get over it. No, I mean, if you're a fan of the number one team in the country, you want to watch them even if it's against nobody. And you don't get to. You don't get to unless you pay for that extra subscription. Pretty aggravating. Because then you turn around at 12 o'clock, that is on SEC Network, that is already in your normal, you know, channel selection if you have it, as long as you have SEC Network. Look who shows back up. New Mexico State, again, 1-9 team against Kentucky. No knock on Kentucky. Kentucky's been pretty good this year. They're 7-3 right now. They're not ranked after this past weekend, or they're not ranked since a couple of weeks ago. They're 36-point favorites. But they're playing the same time, but they get the TV slot. I get it. You only have so many slots available for teams to be able to play and to be able to be shown on TV. And Tennessee State, Prairie View, A&M, and Charleston Southern may not be the teams to be able to or to feel like you're granted to be able to put on there. But by the way, hey, the number one team in the country has only played one night game at home all season. One. Now, I'm not saying Charleston Southern has to be that. But then again, why are we looking down at LSU and UL Monroe playing at 9 o'clock on ESPN2? I don't get that one. 7:30, South Alabama and Tennessee. Yeah, that one could have been played at lunchtime on SEC Network Plus. So, a little bit of a bone to pick about a couple of these. But, again, just my opinion. So, anyways, but you got Charleston Southern, Georgia. Prairie View A&M at Texas A&M. Tennessee State at Mississippi State. Again, all those at 12 o'clock. You can't watch them on TV unless you have that subscription. Then at 12 o'clock on SEC Network, you got New Mexico State and Kentucky. Then you get at 3:30 on CBS, you got Arkansas at Alabama. That one should be a good one. Alabama, a 20.5-point favorite. Then at 4 o'clock on SEC Network, you get Florida and Missouri. That's actually going to turn out to be a pretty good game. Florida is an 8.5-point favorite. 7 o'clock, you got Auburn and South Carolina. Could also be a good one there. Vandy and Ole Miss at 7:30 on SEC Network Plus, and then wrapping it up at 7:30 as well. ESPNU, South Alabama, and Tennessee. Then you got ESPN2, like I said a minute ago, at 9 o'clock. UL Monroe at LSU. Breaking down some of these, I'm not going to break down the Charleston Southern Georgia. I'm not going to break down Prairie View A&M and Texas A&M or Tennessee State and Mississippi State. All of those games are considered cupcake games that should be rolled. Also not going to break down Kentucky and New Mexico State. It should be another one. Again, Kentucky's a 36-point favorite. Should absolutely roll in this game. Then we get down to some games that are actually pretty interesting. 3:30 CBS, number 21 Arkansas traveling to number 2 Alabama. This could be a good game. Alabama's a 20.5-point favorite. Over under on this one is 58.5. If I wanted to take anything on this, it's probably that over 58.5 because, and I just think of it like this. I think back to thinking that the Georgia and Arkansas game, when that game happened, was going to be a very good game. And it was for Georgia. But Georgia pulls it out, 37 or 38-0. And that's the end of that one. And I could turn around. I could see that being the same way that here. I could see Alabama pulling this off 41-0 or pulling this off 41-10, 41-17, you know, something like that. I could see, you know, even a 35-10, something like that happening. I've got a feeling it's going to be more than that, though. Something is kind of telling me this could be like a 41-24, 41-30, you know, a little bit closer game than we anticipate. So, but I wouldn't want to take that Alabama minus 20 and half. I wouldn't want to go against the spread on this just because, again, Georgia was able to handle their business. Now, that defense for Georgia, completely different than Alabama's. Alabama still has a pretty good offense, but believe it or not, so does Georgia. So, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily play with that 20 and a half, not so much wanting to play with the spread on that, but that over 58 and a half has a little bit of intrigue to me, just because, again, I think this could be a game where Alabama gets up pretty good, but Arkansas sticks around. I think Arkansas has that opportunity and ability to be able to stick around with Alabama in this one. Luckily, it's at that primetime spot on CBS at 3:30. It's not a night game, so I think that does kind of bode well for Arkansas. Weather's supposed to be beautiful, beautiful this weekend for some of these games. So look for Arkansas to kind of stick around in this one. Again, I'm not sure about the spread on it, but something kind of tells me that over may end up being pretty good looking in this one. If Arkansas comes to play ball, if they can come to play ball like they have in a few games this season, you know, they are 7-3 coming into this one. They could turn things around and make this a tight ball game. You know, again, I'd be surprised if it's a 42-38 kind of final, but I could see this very well being a 41-42-24, 41-27 kind of a game, which in that case you're hitting that over 58.5. So that's all I really have on that. At 4 o'clock on SEC Network, you get, by the way, also, if Arkansas can beat Alabama this week, that wraps up the SEC West, and Alabama will meet Georgia on December 4th in the SEC Championship game in Atlanta, because even if Alabama lost to Auburn at the end of the year, there's nobody to be able to break that tiebreaker. Auburn has now lost 3 games. Ole Miss has 2 losses, but Alabama's got the head-to-head win over Ole Miss. And since A&M went down last weekend, that wraps them up as well. So as long as Alabama can take care of business against Arkansas this week, they're pretty much in the clear to be able to play in Atlanta on December 4th. But you got to get through this one first, because if you lose this one and then you turn around and lose to Auburn next weekend, first of all, the playoff hopes are completely gone. But then as long as A&M, Ole Miss, Auburn, if they can continue to do their thing, this all of a sudden becomes a very tight race at the top of the SEC West. So Alabama's got to take care of business this weekend. Now let's move down again, like we're saying, to that 4 o'clock SEC Network. Florida, Missouri, 2 teams that are 5-5 this season. One team we anticipated to be there, the other we did not. Florida, they are an 8.5-point favorite. Over-on this one, 69. I just don't know how to feel about this one. After the way Florida played South Carolina last week, or the week before, excuse me, and the way that Missouri was able to play this last week against South Carolina as well, I believe. I just don't know. I do not know how this game is going to go. I really don't, which is strange, because you would most of the time come into this and think, yeah, Florida's going to take care of business. Oh, Florida will wake up. Well, they played Samford last weekend at home, and this game's not at home, which I don't think is going to matter that much being in Columbia, Missouri, but I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know if Florida's all of a sudden going to wake up and realize, hey, our season's over, but we still got football to play, or if they're just going to continue to dwindle down and fall apart. Because I really do think that this team has quit on Dan Mullen. I don't know what that means for his future and the program, but that's something to keep an eye on, because this could be a game where Missouri comes in and wins, or this could be a game Florida wakes up and wins. Something to kind of keep an eye on coming into this one. Auburn, South Carolina. Again, this one has a little bit of intrigue. Auburn is a 7.5-point favorite at Columbia, South Carolina. South Carolina was home against Florida, and they got the job done. This is a very, very same kind of scenario right here. South Carolina looking for a bowl bid with another win. They've got Auburn and Clemson, so a couple of tough games for them to be able to make something like that happen. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. If they can't pull Auburn this weekend, you do have Clemson next weekend, which you just got to be able to score a few times, and you can beat Clemson, because Clemson's defense is what you have to beat to be able to beat them. But they could beat Auburn too. If Auburn shows up the way that they did against Texas A&M, Now I'm blanking on who they played a couple of weeks ago, and they showed up like they were from Mississippi State. Nope. Ole Miss. I think it was Ole Miss that they showed up for. If they can show up like that, they'll take care of South Carolina. But if they show up like they did against Texas A&M, they'll get beat. If they show up like they did in the second half against Mississippi State, they'll get beat. So this one, again, has a little bit of intrigue. The other intrigue is this one's only like a 44.5. It's over-under on this one. I got a feeling that'll hit the over when it comes to 44.5, because this game's probably going to end like 31-24, 31 to, you know, something around there, pushing closer to that 50 mark. Got Vandy and Ole Miss. Ole Miss going to roll in this one, 36.5-point favorites. I believe that'll happen. South Alabama, Tennessee. Tennessee, a 28-point favorite. I don't foresee South Alabama being able to keep it real close with this Tennessee offense as fast as it is. UL Monroe, LSU, 2-4-6 teams. It's kind of wild. LSU, again, not out of the realm of possibility to be able to get into the playoff, or not the playoffs, dog, I got to get that out of my head, but not out of the realm of possibility to be able to get to a bowl game. Need two wins to do it. They got to win out. UL Monroe shouldn't be a problem, but Texas A&M at the end of the year, that's going to be the roadblock. That's what they've got to get through to be able to get there. So we'll keep an eye on that as the week goes. They are 29-point favorites and probably cover it. Don't think they've covered the spread quite as well as they should have this year, but should cover it in this one. So getting to my picks on the week, I got Georgia, I got Texas A&M, I got Mississippi State. Those are all pretty simple as far as it comes to those spreads. Kentucky, same way. Alabama. I'm going to take Alabama, and I like that over 58.5. Let me make sure I write these down real quick so I don't forget about them. Alabama, I'm going to take, again, that over 58.5. Florida and Missouri. Again, I just don't know which way to lean about this because it all depends on who shows up in this game. But I think I'm going to go the Florida way. I think Florida wakes up this week. Maybe. We'll see. Auburn, South Carolina, give me Auburn. Again, same thing, I think. Well, one other thing to remember in this Auburn game, Bo Nix is out. That's another thing I completely forgot to mention there. Bo Nix having the broken ankle that he played on in that Mississippi State game. That happened at some point in that. That could be part of the reason that Auburn's offense quit producing, which is kind of a scary thing to think about when you move forward through the rest of the season. Because if that happened in the second half against Mississippi State, now, don't get me wrong, Will Rogers, a great football player, and I talked about this last week. The week previous, he had a huge game, and he turns around and has another big one against Auburn last week on the road. So this could be a situation where Auburn having to rely on TJ Finley, that becomes a little bit of a headache. Not sure. We're going to keep an eye on that and see how that goes. But prayers out to Bo Nix. Hopefully he can get healthy. I know we've talked about the inconsistencies with him as years pass. Another kind of strange thing to think about, you would think he'd be headed out the door this after this year. And a lot of friends that I have that are Auburn fans are ready for that. Ready for the next chapter of Auburn quarterbacks and kind of waiting to get Bo Nix out of the door. Well, after this injury happens and the COVID year last year, he can come back next year. So don't get your hopes up too much because there is a possibility you see Bo Nix 2.0 next year. Keep an eye on that as things move forward. Give me pretty much Ole Miss in that Vandy game because that's a big one. Over-under on that was 64.5. Oh, yeah, in the Auburn-South Carolina game, what I talked about, that 44.5. Give me the over 44.5 on that one as well. Then you got South Alabama and Tennessee. I'll take Tennessee. 28, that's pushing it. I don't really want to play with that too much because Tennessee's defense is not all that great. Then you got LSU and UL Monroe. LSU 29-point favorite. Give me LSU in that one. And that's it. The only thing extra I'm going to take in that are the two overs in it. So I got Georgia, A&M, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Bama, and the over 58.5. Florida, Auburn, and the over 44.5, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and LSU. I do not have any picks from Cody for the week. Was not able to get anything from him. So that is the games in the SEC. Now, let's look at some of the games around the country because we do have some pretty big ones. On Friday, you got Memphis and Houston. That one could be a pretty good one there. Houston, an 8.5-point favorite, number 24 team in the country. Moving down to that Saturday slate at 12 o'clock. You do get to watch this one at 12 o'clock on ABC. Top 10 matchup, number 7, Michigan State, number 4, Ohio State, 2 9-1 teams, two teams fighting for that Big Ten. Ohio State, oddly in this one, 19-point favorite. If I tell you anything, I don't know if Ohio State's going to win this game or not, but I think Michigan State keeps it within that 19. That's one thing to think about as far as outside of the SEC goes. If I had to make a pick, give me Michigan State plus 19. I think their defense is good enough to keep Ohio State in check a little bit. Again, Ohio State has one of the best offenses in the country, if not the best offense in the country. But Michigan State, I think that defense is going to be able to slow things down for Ohio State a little bit in this one. Wake Forest and Clemson, oddly has a good look to it there. Clemson, a 4.5-point favorite against the number 10 team in the country. Clemson slowly kind of creeping back up to that 7-3 ranking, or 7-3 record so far this season. So keep an eye on that one there at ESPN at 12 o'clock. Could the number 10 team in the country and Wake Forest take another loss on the season? We're going to see. We're going to see coming up this weekend. Iowa State, Oklahoma. Oklahoma only a 3.5-point favorite at that one at the house against a 6-4 Iowa State. Iowa State early in the season, we had high hopes for them, and they have kind of slipped to the wayside now, a 6-4 team, only 4-3 in the Big 12. Can they come up and shock Oklahoma? And this one, really, I wouldn't call it a shocker because Iowa State has that tendency to be able to take down a top team. And you got SMU Cincinnati. Cincinnati, 11.5-point favorite in this one. That one at 3:30 on ESPNU, or ESPN, excuse me. It's a game to watch. It's a game to keep an eye on. SMU 8-2, not a bad team. The one of three undefeated teams left in the country, Cincinnati being one of them here in that fifth ranking, to be able to keep their playoff hopes alive for the possibility to stay undefeated and try to get into that conversation. They've been in the conversation, but try to get in that position once higher. Some of that could be determined if Michigan State can take down Ohio State this next weekend, but then it becomes the question if Michigan State deserves to be in the top four or not. It's going to be something to kind of keep an eye on, but do not sleep on SMU in this one. I'm telling you now, do not sleep on it, because this, I think, is going to come down to the wire. I really do. So Cincinnati, 11.5-point favorite. Could it happen? Absolutely. Ritter, he is a great quarterback and could probably continue that. Just do not sleep on SMU. SMU plus 11.5, just saying. Michigan and Maryland. Shouldn't be too much there, but hey, Maryland has shocked the world before, and Michigan is due for a little bit of an upset loss where they shouldn't lose, but somehow do. Virginia and Pitt, don't sleep on that one too much. Virginia can come up and sneak up on you. UAB and UTSA, you wouldn't think that that's a big one, but it could be. Syracuse and NC State, never know. Baylor and Kansas State, don't sleep on Kansas State. Kansas State, a one-point favorite. One-point favorite in this one against the number 11 team in the country. Oregon and Utah, this is another strange one. Utah is a 3-point favorite at the house against the number 3 team in the country. Granted, Utah is ranked 23rd, but I don't know why. I think Oregon's going to take care of business in this one. So, Oregon, plus 3. Hard to think they're in the plus points on that. Oklahoma State, my sleeper team of the year. Oklahoma State traveling to Texas Tech to play in Lubbock. That one, Oklahoma State, a 10-point favorite. That one at 8 o'clock on Fox. So, that is the other big games around the country. And that will wrap us up. All right, getting things wrapped up here. Make sure you guys go and follow us on Twitter at SECTalk20. Appreciate you guys being here, and we will check in with you guys next week to review all of the Week 12 slate. Thanks for listening.